But Father, I truly do thank you and praise you, and I give you all honor and all glory. Holy Spirit of God, I give you full, total, and complete rule and reign in this sanctuary tonight. You do whatever it is the Father is telling you to do. And I thank you for the angels that have come to visit with us and to worship with us and also to minister to us. And Jesus, we thank you that you're forever interceding for us. Now, Father God, fall upon your people. Change, rearrange, strengthen, Father. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We have to understand that right now everybody is in a battle. And the battle's getting stronger and stronger. It's not getting weaker. It's getting stronger and stronger. So what we need to do is we need to be holding our brothers and our sisters up before the Lord. And we need to be keeping them covered totally and completely with the blood of Jesus. It's because we're on the very verge of the greatest thing that God has ever done in the body of Christ that we're being fought this hard. And this battle is all about separating the wheat from the tare. So, you know, if you're in a battle, that's why I played that one song, Don't Give Up on Me. That was God speaking to us. Don't give up on God. If you know, just keep moving, just keep walking, because God is doing the perfect work that needs to be done in you and around you to take you where you need to be. I know sometimes, you know, I hear it, well, there is no God. If there is a God, why does he let this happen? And, you know, there is a God. And like Torn Wells said, he never has a battle that doesn't have a purpose. You know? So whatever you're going through, you need to go through. If you didn't need to go through it, God wouldn't have it there in your presence. We're blaming everything on the devil when really and truly it's God allowing these things to resurface, to come up so he can take care of them. He gave me a word for the bulletin. I'm trying to think what how. I think he said, started out, you should be asking me what I'm stirring in the pot or something like that. But anyhow, the gist of the prophetic word is that he's stirring down in the very bottom of the pot. And bringing all the junk up that's been laying in the bottom and stirring it, bringing it to the top. And then it's up to us what we do with the stuff that he brings up. If I was you, I'd just say, God, you can have the whole pot. You know, some things might be floating around in between there. And I really would. It's sort of a strong word. But I just want to encourage you, because I sat there and I felt such a love in here tonight that, you know, we have to speak repentance, all right? So if you're going through a trial or tribulation, don't let the devil put condemnation on you and make you quit. Just keep moving. What do I always tell you? The shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't put it on. You know, so, okay, God, I'm in my mess and I'm going on. And whatever you're telling anybody else that's listening, that's not for me. I've already been there, done that, and I moved to a different level. Because, you know, if you keep listening to the condemnation messages or the messages are trying to get you right, you might give up. People do give up. And the reason why they give up is because they were never in the fight anyway. And the devil knows that. So he just keeps plugging in there and pushing and hitting and shoving and carrying on like a fool, hoping that you'll give in to his wiles. But we don't do that, do we? No. Tonight, God's going to talk about passing over. God said, during this season, you have been passing over into the newness of life that lies before you in an unprecedented way. During this season, you have been passing over into the newness of life that lies before you in an unprecedented way. Now, unprecedented never means never done or known before. The emphasis has been on shaping bold solutions to save lives and livelihoods in these unprecedented times. How many times has God said, you've never gone this way before? Some of you come in here, you heard me say things that you didn't even ever read the word. And, you know, when I was first born again, I was 50, and I thought, I never knew that was in there. You know, and there was a whole lot of things I never knew was in there, right? Why? Because I never read my word. I let the pastor read it to me. And then when I go home and I read it, I didn't know what I was reading. I just read it. It was just another book. I just read it. You know, I just skim over things. And then when I was born again, I realized, hey, you need to get serious with this book when you read it. You know, and you need to understand what it's saying. And a lot of you are the same way. You have not been serious with your word. And you don't really understand what it's telling you. And, you know, Aaron and I was talking tonight about the courtroom. You know, the courts of heaven is all through the Bible. But I never saw them there until you guys started writing your books about the courtroom. I've even read the other books about courtrooms, but I never looked in the Word. Then all of a sudden, every place I read in the Word, it talks about God's court. You know, and so there it was all these years, and God just let me see it. So, you know, there it is all these years, and one day you're reading the words, wow, I didn't know that said that, you know. So, you know, just God just brings it to the surface and lets you see what it really means. Why does he do that? Because now is the time you will understand what he's telling you. Before, you weren't ready for that. But now you're ready for the deepness of the word. All right, raised to walk in newness of life. Christ's resurrection guides us into newness of life, which is life here and now, but with a new biblical dimension. It leads us to examine everything we feel, think, and do from a new perspective that takes our present bodies, our resurrection bodies, and Christ's body, the church, even more seriously. Now, how many of you can honestly say, and be honest with yourself, you never really took church serious? You just went to church. And, you know, even when there was serious things going, oh, that's neat. But that's all you thought about, just neat. But now God is making us take church really seriously. God said the army of the Lord has been given their marching orders, and they will march onward and upward, defeating the darkness as they go. I have given you a promise that a new thing we will be doing, and a brand new thing it is. I want you to get that in your spirit. God's speaking. He's been telling us it's going to be a brand new thing, a brand new way. We've never been this way before. We're going to see and hear things we've never heard or seen before. Don't be discouraged. Somebody else said, oh, where'd you pick that up at? Well, you know what? I was talking and I said, when we first started to church, first thing we did was deliverance because that's what God had us do. And then we moved here into the public and we were doing deliverances. Then we did exorcisms and everybody just really shunned us. But now look what they're doing. They're giving classes on it. They started colleges on just talking about deliverance and what the enemy's all about. But back 40 years ago, they shunned us and said this was not of God. And they were, if you mentioned the devil, they were just scared to death to be around you because of fear you was going to get killed or something, you know. Now you can talk about the devil and be safe. You talk about God, now you're in trouble. So what I'm saying here is, so if God calls you to do something new, don't get upset about it. Just because nobody else has heard about it, he's going to reveal it. And everybody's going to see that what you did was right. I've had 40-some years of that mess. And you just keep moving. You can't help if they don't understand. You can't help if God hasn't taken them into that deep revelation. The reason he hasn't taken them into that deep revelation is because he can't trust him. He can't use him to do the great and mighty works. Only the people that God can trust and he's going to use as he takes into the deep and mighty works. I'm hearing him say he takes you into the secret place in his heart. And he reveals his self to you, his son Jesus to you, and his word to you. Because he can trust you with it. He knows you're not going to go out there and just tear it apart. I don't wear mac bread. Church, you must understand that we can no longer sit idly by and watch the destruction of America. How many of you are upset with what's going on in America? What they're doing with their children? I was reading an article last night that said, I forget which president was in presidency, and they wanted to teach our children in school about masturbation. He said, absolutely not. This is not something you teach in schools. But now they're going to teach children, our children, about masturbation in the schools. I think that is terrible. See how the devil has infiltrated the schools? Can you imagine what goes on in the classroom? A church, we need to open our eyes, get our head out of the sand, and we need to be concerned about what our children are being taught in school. Thank God. I have enough trouble teaching my kids at home. You know, and they listen to the things of the world. What would happen if I had them in public schools? It would be a nightmare. You better cover your kids with the blood of Jesus when you send them out your doors. And you girls are graduated, thank God you're out of school. Because what they're wanting to do with the schools and teach your kids is terrible. And you know, church, it's up to us to be praying, seeking God's face and how we should handle this and how we should be praying to get this thing stopped. I keep going back whenever prayer was taken out of school. That one lady shot her mouth off. And we, the church, did nothing, thinking it was going to go nowhere, and look where it's gone. One woman who didn't believe in God. America is still the land of God speaking. America is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the enemy is doing everything in his power to declare that not so, that we're not free, that we're not the home of the brave. God said, if not you, who can I send to unravel this giant web of deception? If not you, who can I send that will tell the truth? I read where this man went to this abortion thing. He wasn't doing anything, just standing there. And they arrested him. He didn't do nothing. They said, we told you not to preach. He wasn't preaching. But they knew, I think he had something, but he wasn't preaching. But they arrested him. This is a shame. Do you understand where this is going to, guys? You know, one time God told me that what was going on overseas and where they had to hide to go to church and stuff, he said, that is coming into American soil. That was 20-some years ago, but here it is. And they had the FBI and some of the big churches watching to see how they teach and what they're doing in their churches. The enemy has, I'm hearing God say, the enemy has totally infiltrated his churches. That's a shame. But we can pray. We have a weapon. We can pray. All right, God said, children, you must understand that there is a multitude of reasons why you must suit up and go forth now. The body of Christ is not ready for what is coming upon the land, but the forerunner churches have been on the backside of the desert training for such a time as this. You little ones are the remnant ones that I have prepared to tear down the darkness while bringing in the lost, the dying, and weary souls that the darkness has raped over and over again. Strong words from God. And we are the ones that he has entrusted these souls to. Why are you being fought so hard? Right there is the reason. Satan's after souls. Jesus wants these souls. Jesus needs us to fight for these souls. Satan has his little devils out there fighting. You better believe it. And they don't care how they fight. Well, we shouldn't care how we fight either. We need to do like that song says, down on our knees with our hands raised to the Father. Right? God said, there is no place for mistakes in this dispensation of time. Hear that, guys? No place for mistake. Compromise is a word you do not know when fighting the enemy. Remember when my daughter out in Arkansas, God spoke to her and said, you call my daughter and tell her not to compromise. And I said, I'm not even thinking about compromise, but something came up that I could have compromised if I, you know, I'm just not a compromising person. So see, God will always forewarn you when the enemy's going to come at you in a way you don't expect him to. God said, you have been taught the truth, and you must stand in the truth to bring salvation to the naysayers. You have no inkling of what the enemy has been speaking into the lives of those who are lost. Read that again. You have no inkling of what the enemy has been speaking into the lives of those who are lost. You have no idea of how far he has gone to destroy souls. God said that, but, you know, I've seen a lot of things just in the last 2 days, and I can't understand how far he goes. He just goes to any length to destroy people. And he whispers and he whispers and he whispers. I know somebody who hears other voices, but he smiles. He says, but I know the voice of God. And he speaks totally different than these other voices do. And he says that he always encourages me. I thought that was neat, that somebody who has a problem with other voices also hears God's voice. We, who don't hear other voices, have trouble hearing God's voice. Amen? The enemy is vicious and cruel, and there is nothing vile that he will not do. He has no standards. The enemy has implanted this very same mindset into those who are lost. And that was why everything is going, nobody has any standards anymore. You know, and anything goes. And we can see the enemy at work everywhere. I don't care where you go, he's at work everywhere. God says the enemy of this world has done everything he can to rob and destroy my plans and purposes. The only thing the lost know is hate and hopelessness. Their emotions are null and void. And null and void means unproductive, of no consequence, effect, or value, insignificant, amounting to nothing. Isn't that how the world is out there? I think Andrew looks like Torrin Wells. You tell him I want him to come here and sing for me. And you tell him to watch Torrin Wells and come and sing that song. Don't you think he looks like Torrin Wells? I love him, you know. Andrew. Well, I like to hear Torrin Wells too. Our Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. And I highlighted that because sometimes I hear people say, I'm just too weak to fight this battle. No, you're not. You should say, I'm strong. I'm strong because God's angels are going to fight this battle for me. Assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people. You hear what God's saying here? And the strength of the children of Israel. God is going to be our shelter. Not going to be. He is already, because we are in the worst warfare I've ever been in. Verse 17 says, so you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. God is going to take care of our enemies. We need to be about the Father's business. How many of you, your dreams and visions are increasing? During the time I don't lay my head on the bed that I don't have a dream or a vision, and I've never been one to have either. God is showing us what is about ready to unfold. Are we paying attention is the question. Joshua 1 verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, he was a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. He said, all right, Moses is dead now, Joshua. You're number one now, and I want you to take these people and take them into the promised land. You know, we are now in control. You know, God is using us. And it's up to us to go out there and feed those lost sheep and bring them over into God's promised land. All right? The challenge before Israel was very involved. Not only were they to cross over the Jordan River, but they would be responsible to go in and possess the land. Now, guys, we already crossed over the Jordan. Isn't that what we've done? Now, what are we supposed to do? Go in and possess the land of Canaan, the land of Israel, the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on, guys. The devil is trying to pull us off of our assignments. He does not want us to stay the path that God has placed our feet upon, because if we do, we're going to do exactly what God told Joshua to do here. We will not take the people into the promised land, and this is what our job is for. John the Baptist, what was his job? Take the people into the promised land. Jesus, take the people into the promised land. Disciples, take the Jesus people into the promised land. Our job is to take the people into the promised land. In other words, get the lost saved. Right? Are we doing a good job of that? We have to ask ourselves that. The first thing God promised his people was to bless them. He said in Joshua 1:15, ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. The second thing, God would require a great measure of faith. And what did he tell us about our faith? Build up our holy faith. God would require a great measure of faith on their part. In chapter 3, verse 4, we read, for ye have not passed this way before. God loves you. He sees your pain. He sees this mess that you're in. But son, I love you and I'm with you. I'm removing the strong towers that are trying to hold you back. And I am taking you into the promised land, even this night, even though the enemy is hot on your heels. And you will bring my people into the promised land. You are a strong tower, son. You can do this thing. You can do it with your head held high. Move with me. Not ahead of me, but move with me. Listen to my voice of instruction. You need to hear me very clearly right now, son. There are many voices speaking into your ears that are not of me. You need to hear me very clearly and very precisely. And you need not fear, for I, the Lord thy God, I am with you. I have not forsaken you. I hear your cries night after night after night. Even during the daytime, you cry out to me. And I'm answering those cries. And I am bringing you forth into the fullness of who I've called you forth to be. The enemy thinks he's won. But I'm telling you here this night, he isn't even close to winning. For you are earmarked for my kingdom. And you will come forth in might and in power. You're going to lose much in this battle, though, son. But I will return unto you all that the enemy stole from you. So never fear. just go forth in total faith and total strength, knowing that I am with you. All right, the third thing that God said to them was, though there would be tremendous opposition, they were assured God would defeat their enemies. Well, that's just what God said to you. God would defeat their enemies. Finally, there would be victory. Chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. God is with everybody in this room. If you're called to do a work for God, then God is with you, and he is leading, guiding, and directing you. There's a lot of distraction on all sides. He even comes from the back. He doesn't care where how he gets in. He's trying to get in. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. In other words, don't even get discouraged. Just, you know, if you slip, don't get discouraged. Pull yourself back up again and keep moving on. God said, if a good man falls seven times in one day, they pick themselves back up again and keep walking. You have to keep walking. You can't stop. Are you listening here? God has been preparing us to pass over. And by faith, we must be willing to face tremendous odds. This is what you're facing, Aaron. You're facing tremendous odds right now from all sides. God has been telling us, if we are willing to follow him and his plan for our lives, then we can also be certain that we will enjoy his blessings and be confident of victory. You know, when you know you messed up, isn't it? It's hard to believe this, isn't it? It's hard to have the confidence that you're going to be, you have the victory. I know I've been there and I've done that, but one thing I never do is sit down. I just have a spiciness in me. Gets wants to get him to kick that devil's head right off his shoulders. Amen. Come on. You all do too. You all do. It's in you. Don't ever let the enemy steal that from you. We have been faithful and passed over, ready to bring in the harvest of lost souls. Hear that? We have been faithful and passed over, ready to bring in the harvest of lost souls. Relief is on the way for the harvesters. This is what God is saying. The harvesters have determined in their heart of hearts that they will go to the highways and the byways and compel the lost to come in. They have determined in their hearts that nothing is going to stop them. They have declared over and over again, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Some of us in here tonight, we've had to make some really hard decisions. We've had to let go of loved ones, family members, friends, whatever, to keep going with God. And, you know, and this is what God will test you in that area. What does he say? He who does not leave his mother, his brother, his sister, you know, is not worthy to follow him. And whatever you lose, like God told Aaron, whatever you lose, God will return to you. Look, let's look at Job. Lost everything, and even including his wife. That would be a good thing to lose the way she was carrying on, right? But look what he gave him in the end. Everything was so much better than what he lost. He even gave him a new wife, new children, more wealth than he had before. You know, don't be afraid to let go of loved ones. I had to do that in my walk with God, and I'm quite sure some of you have had to do that, and they mocked you and scorned you and everything else, but you know what? God vindicates, doesn't he? And if we're the Philadelphia Church, and God said, those who did that to us are going to come and sit at our feet. So it doesn't matter what they're saying to you about you. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. And God said that these harvesters carry my glory and the anointing to break every yoke, not just one or two, but every yoke of bondage. These harvesters are the army in Joel. And let's read about the army in Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. This is where we're at, church. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. We are this crazy bunch of people that's going to go out there and kick the devil off the land. And we're going to possess the land that he unlawfully took from us. We are these people. Verse 3, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours a stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. You know, I told God, I said, God, you give me a bunch of hard-headed people, but I'm hard-headed too, you know. So, you know, so I said, you're going to have to be with me in this, because you give me a forehead of flint, and, you know, sometimes we buck heads. But I know, Father God, you need these hard-headed people to be the warriors. You know, wimp can't do what God needs done. He needed hard-headed people. He needed people that would stand their ground no matter what. Didn't care how shaky it was, you stood your course. And you guys are those. And I'm honest with you, I went to be getting shaky sometime. And I was reading where Chuck Pierce would get mad at his people that God put under him, that he'd shot at them, put them in their place. But, you know, all the teaching that we get from God is to make us better warriors. Stronger warriors. Amen. My father, earthly father, always says, Jimmy, you always need to hear the truth, no matter how it hurts. And I've carried that with me. Now, I like to hear the truth. I don't want you to lie to me. I could stand a truth. I cannot stand a lie. That's the way you should feel, too. And when you get into the Word of God, you want the truth. You don't want somebody to water it down, you know, or just run over it. You want the truth of what the Word's really saying. That's what's going to set you free so you can go set somebody else free. You hear me get on the young kids. They need to be talked to sternly at times. They think they're all that, and then some of them are not. And then whenever you tell them that, then up pops that little devil that was there hiding, but then we expose it, and it has to leave, right? All right, verse 6, people, before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. When it says there, they run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. And what I want to do is, before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. I have somebody living with me now. And when he first came there, he was full of demons. And every time he saw me, he jumped through windows, he jumped through my porch, he was, you know, jumping through doors to get away from me. And so when he came back this time, I said, no jumping through windows, no jumping through doors, no breaking up my house to get away from me. So he's there now, and then he said, boy, it's really hard just to stand here. And he goes like this here, you know, he's that devil wants to get away from you. But, you know, this is who we are. We're the strong ones that the devil can't stand to be in your presence. Amen. So what happened is he's telling them devils to leave because he can't jump through a window no more. Are you understanding this? This is the way we all need to be. But the devil just can't stand to be in your presence. Verse 8. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. That's us good guys. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter it at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. See, we're very great. See this? For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? I don't want to stand before God when he's angry. Because he said to me a couple times, Barbara. And I thought, oh, geez, I messed up. And then he tells me how I messed up. Yeah. Then he calms down and it's really sweet. But that first Barbara thing about it, oh, Lord, I'm in for it. The other night he said, Barbara, he said, you're not in trouble. I just want to let you know I still know your name because I was wondering, you know, was he still with me? He said, I still know your name. So anyhow, God said, these mighty ones will stand in the temple of holiness and they will execute judgment upon the inhabitants of the land. Where will we be? Stand in the temple of where? Holiness. And they will execute judgment upon the inhabitants of the land. God has been trying to get us to walk in holiness. From day one, walk in holiness. Some of you haven't gotten there yet. Hurry up, get there. Get all the junk out of you. You don't need the junk anyhow, because what God has taken you into is so much greater than anything that the devil has in you that he's working through. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9 said, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Here you go with your court. Can you imagine standing in front of that kind of a God? I mean, you'd have to fall on your face if you had any sense at all. You know? Verse 11, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So here right there tells you Satan is going to be gone. God's going to destroy him and his devils, demons. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That was Jesus. We are supposed to serve Jesus in holiness, and Jesus is not going anywhere. The devil's going to be destroyed. Jesus is not. I don't know why God's saving some of them little demons for later on, but, you know, he has a purpose. So why would you want to serve a devil who's already destroyed? Why would you want to do that? You know, he's just a little flake out there running around trying to make you think that he's something he's not. So why would you want to serve him? That's a good question, isn't it? Why would you want to serve somebody that's already defeated? But you know, we have our little cults out there that do that. Right now, I can't believe what they're doing with Satanism out there. And people are following him like crazy. You know, those cults like crazy. All right, in this most important of all court scenes, the judge is represented as having more than 1 million angels as his assistants. That's a lot of angels, isn't it? In this most important of all court scenes, the judge is represented as having more than 1 million angels as his assistants, while more than 100 million are court attendants. Isn't that something? The books containing the records of the lives of men are open, the court is convened, and a judgment is set. This is how it's going to end. God said, children, I have been judging the people for a season, and so many found wanting. I am cleaning the swamps of all that defiles, and I need you to go forth ministering to ones that are lost. You are strong and of good courage, and that is why I have chosen the remnant to send forth. Guys, this has always been a remnant church. God told us that when we first opened the doors. So all you guys who have come and you know, have stayed, you know, Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, and so you, God called you, and you came and you stayed, and God has been dealing with you, and He's been bringing all the junk out of you. He's making you strong towers. He's leading you into holiness, and He's going to send you out there, and you're going to destroy the works of the devil. That's just the way it goes. All right, you and I were created to reveal His kingdom to the world. People all around us are hurt and disappointed with what life's handed them. Isn't that the truth? I mean, we as a body of Christ, we are hurt too with what life hands us. You know, what the devil does, he uses other people to hand us a lot of hurts. And, you know, we have to work through that. Don't you have to work through that? I do. And I hope, well, if you don't have to work through that, that's great. I hope you don't get a bigger thing to work through. People need to know the hope of Jesus. They need to know the hope of Jesus through you. And everything you go through is your testimony. You can tell people, well, I was really dumb. This is what I did. Got myself in hot water with God, and this is what He did. But then look what the end product is. He cleaned me up, cleaned the inside of my cup. Clean me all up, dress me in a pretty dress or gown, pants, whatever you're wearing. And here I am to tell you about my Father. And I'm here to tell you there's a battle that's going to be in your hands the minute you receive Him. Be honest with Him. Nobody was honest with me, and I was not expecting the battle. Are you ready for battle? But are you really ready to be the true warrior that God's called you forth to be? That's the big question. You know, I'm ready for the battle. I can fight anybody. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. Like God told me, He can do everything but kill you, and He sure did. And in the process of it, I said, God, just kill me. It gets rough. It's hard. I'm not going to tell you it's easy because it's not. You just have to keep walking. You know, and just keep trusting God. And then when you're all through that battle, you say, well, look at me. And then here comes the devil. I'll show you who you are. And he hits you again and again and again. Jesus didn't have any rest. So why should you and I? We're in a battle. We're not out here to pamper ourselves and live in luxury places and just, you know, have big parties. We're not in it for that. Remember that the lady came here, remember her and the story about her? And she said, let's sell hot dogs in the lobby so we can make money. I said, no, I can't do that. You can't sell hot dogs. I said, no, I can't do that. She left the church. I can't believe that you think God won't allow you to sell hot dogs in the lobby. No, He told me never to do that right up front. Anyhow, who wants to smell hot dogs in the lobby while you're hearing God's word? My sister used to go to church right close to where you live. And that, you know, they had the men on one side and the women on the other side. Then other women, right, you know, it's all big one room, and they're back here cooking the meal. And everybody's looking to see what they're cooking because it really sounded good. Now, I thought, how are you getting anything out of this? And then when the pastor said, amen, boy, if I broke their necks getting back there to that table to eat, there was never an altar call. I said to my sister, why do you stay in this church? Well, they're relatives. I don't care if they're relatives or not. This man, he didn't even teach the word right. He twisted the word. And I showed him what he did wrong. Till the day she died, she was in that church. Because I think it was her husband's brother that was a pastor who was running a woman in a church. Anyhow, they're all gone now. But now, why would you want that? We are in the house of God. And we're here to reverence the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as angelic hosts also. We are not here to entertain ourselves or anybody else. So are you ready for that kind of a life? Give it all up. Can't stick something in your pocket and take it out the door. You have to give it all up tonight. If you're really, truly ready to give it all up, the altar's for you.